heard of you before. It's the unknown. Unknown. It's the unknown. Unknown preacher.
What it is, beautiful people, Unknown Preacher LA season two. We're getting close to season three, y'all. I'm your boy LA, aka Lonzo, aka Mr. Nobody, trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. And I'm super excited to officially welcome my girl, Pastor Bernadette Martin, to the team. She's been a guest a number of times, as y'all know. And now we really get to push our kingdom business agenda and talk about things that Christians really want to discuss. So welcome, Pastor Bernadette Martin. How are you, my sister?
Good morning. I'm good. How are you?
I am hanging in there, just ready for what's about to happen, and just super excited about what the Spirit has in store for all of us. And so how was your week?
My week has been good. It's been filled with good news. I think 3 days back to back, it was just filled with good news, opportunities. And I want to pause here and say thank you for the opportunity to serve in the capacity as co-host on this wonderful podcast alongside you and the rest of the team.
Oh, man. Thank you. We're honored, man. And I'm just so excited about what's about to take place. And I really admire everything that you brought when you were a guest on, and your insight, and you definitely didn't hesitate to give us some advice, and it was always great counsel. So we really, really appreciate you.
Oh, well, I praise God.
Amen. Hey, I want to get your thoughts, because today I'm interviewing Pastor Emmanuel Holland and evangelist Wanda Devine, and we're going to talk about forgiveness, you know, and that's something we really need to talk about. I think so many of us struggle with forgiving, and just really want clarity on what that means. So what are your thoughts about it?
I believe that forgiveness is imperative to the Christian's faith journey.
Yes.
I really don't think I think sometimes we misunderstand just how important forgiveness is. Because if we don't have love paired with forgiveness, then we kind of put ourselves in a holding pattern, if you will. Yeah. And we're kind of stuck. And, you know, in the Lord's Prayer, you know, it talks about forgiveness.
You know? Exactly. Amen to that. That is so spot on. I mean, to me, just like you said, it's the cornerstone of our faith. We're asking Jesus to forgive us for our sins, and therefore we should do the same thing, afford that to our brothers and sisters. That's so spot on. And I don't really struggle with that part of it. I'll tell you honestly, Bernadette, I struggle with like forgiving myself, you know, like if I let someone down, and you know, you beat yourself up about it, even when they have forgiven you. And so that's something else we need to, you know, really work on and recognize.
Yeah, that's a good one, because if we let forgiveness set up house far too long, then it's going to start being a breeding ground for a lot of other negative emotions and feelings, and it'll you know, it'll influence how we conduct ourselves.
Amen.
So but you know, the Merriam-Webster dictionary says that forgiveness is to cease to feel resentment against an offender, mm-hmm. or to grant relief from payment of debt. And so I think it's a case-by-case scenario, depending on what part of forgiveness we need to put in place. Because you know, like you made the great point, you know, that you struggle with forgiving yourself.
Yeah.
So I think that will pair with to grant relief from payment of debt. You know? But it's something that we have to keep putting into practice. And another thing I want to say about forgiveness is that it's nothing really that goes on in our life that's worth hindering our relationship with God.
Amen.
And so we have to put forgiveness in practice. And so,
well said. That is so spot on. And I know that, again, I have a number of friends, and we talk about this, and I can think of maybe three of them, and they will, and they don't hide it. They tell you they struggle with it, and they, you know, especially the get back part, because I think what it boils down to is we feel like is there's this sense of unfairness with it, right? And so it's not fair that this person did this. Especially, well, if you talk about the serious stuff, this heinous act towards me, or this person betrayed me, betrayed my trust, and what's in it for them for doing such a bad thing. You know, I think that's what it boils down to with a lot of people. You know, they're looking at it purely from, you know, the secular aspect of this balancing act, or
and you know, forgiveness, I think what you just said is sometimes wrapped in pride. Sometimes, you know, we may have a situation where we go and talk to somebody else about it, you know, and not talking to God enough about it, to say, hey, you need to put forgiveness in practice. But forgiveness isn't fair, you know. It's something that helps us to not have that get even mentality. Yeah. And while it helps us eradicates us from that mentality, it also sets us free.
Amen.
You know, exactly. Forgiveness is like helping us to understand that if we're drinking poison and we hope that it makes the other person sick, it doesn't work like this. So forgiveness isn't for the other person, per se, it's for us.
Amen. Well said, well said. And I'm so excited. I can't wait to sit down with them. And then after that, we'll lighten it up a little. Do you like spoken word / poetry?
I do.
Cool. So, and you heard some of my works, haven't you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've heard.
Cool. But I am going to sit down and speak with spoken word artist D.S. Will. And I'm telling you, I can't wait to hear about his journey. He's one of the best in the business. I'm excited about that interview. I had the opportunity to join him on a program, and he blew everyone away. So I can't wait for you to hear that too. But I thank you again. Any closing thoughts before we wrap up?
No, I'm excited to hear this podcast on forgiveness, this panel discussion.
Yes,
and
yes.
To hear the spoken word.
Yes, indeed. Well, more to come. And so We'll be right back with our interviews. God bless. Listen, listen, listen. You have to get a taste of Treats of the Realm, man. Two sisters who love making treats for special occasions, or if you just want to treat yourself. Hey, listen, you can find them on Facebook. You can find them on IG. Or you can email them at treatsoftherealm@gmail.com. Or give them a call, 910-322-3667. Treats of the Realm. All right, beautiful people, we are back. Again, thank you for joining us. Forgiveness, a word that's used in the Bible over 100 times, and it's important. And even so, let me say this. I have friends, and they have expressed to me how hard it is to forgive. In fact, one acknowledges it, and he really, really, and I told him I was going to say this, so he won't be offended, but he really, really struggles with forgiveness. And he's even said in the past, hey, when they throw rocks, I'm throwing bricks. And that's his motto. And I can tell you by nature, I think it's natural for us to struggle with forgiveness. But as we unpack this, I have guests in two seats tonight, Pastor Emmanuel Holland and Evangelist Wanda Devine. You've all heard Pastor Holland on here a few times. We know his story. This is the first time for Wanda, but Evangelist Wanda Devine is a native of Raleigh, North Carolina. Wanda has been ministering for 28 years. And I have to say this because I've known Wanda for years, and she has a heart of gold, y'all. And her heart is to see men and women obtain liberation found in having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Another fact, Wanda knew me as a child, so she knows all about Alonzo. So I don't know if I have to pay her to keep those. Nah, I'm just playing. But yeah, but please welcome Pastor Holland and Evangelist Wanda Devine. How are y'all doing?
Hello, hello. Good evening. Doing just well this evening.
Good, good. How are you, Pastor Holland?
Well, just well, good. As well. Yes. So thank you for having us.
Always. Thank you, too. And so we'll get right into it. And I'll just start. I'll put it out there. Why is it so hard to forgive those who have harmed us? And I'll start with you, Pastor Holland, and we'll go from there.
Well, you know, the one thing I think about is that, first of all, let me just say, it's important to note that forgiving someone does not mean that we excuse or condone the wrong behavior or forget what happened. But I believe in most cases we want to be the person who applies the judgment for the wrongdoing. You know, we want to be the attorney and the judge.
Yeah.
So we want to present the case and assign the sentence.
Yes.
But we have to trust God. You know, according to Romans chapter 12, verses 17 through 19, I have a few scriptures here. It says, repay no one evil for evil. Mm-hmm. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men, if it is possible, as much as depends on you. Live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. So we should allow God to apply the judgment and trust that he will apply the appropriate sentence for the offense.
Yes.
So forgiveness is about releasing to the debt and trusting God to bring justice.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Hey, Evangelist Devine, what do you have to add?
I agree with Pastor Holland. He's already given the scripture for that, and I think was a perfect scripture for that. But I just want to add to that, that oftentimes when, first of all, these characteristics or these precepts, principles are designed for the kingdom of God.
Uh-huh.
So you first have to have a relationship with God to understand his principles. And if you don't have a relationship with God, then we have a tendency to utilize how we how we were raised, what we were taught, and we react from that. So if we don't use the foundation, which is the Word of God, then we are subject to our own way, our own will.
Yes.
So once you have given yourself over to Christ and you decide to follow the Word of God, then you understand that I've been bought with a price. It's no longer I, but Christ. Wow. So I have to follow his precepts. Yeah. I'm not saying it's easy, because it is difficult when an ought has been towards you.
Mm-hmm.
It's in human nature for us to protect ourselves and to try to control the situation.
Uh-huh.
But when you learn the Word of God, you understand that, okay, God is my judge now. He is my Lord. He's my vindicator. And I don't want to go too ahead of the series tonight, but I just want to say that once we come to Christ, we have to learn how to allow things to be done in his principles.
Yes.
And we have to give things over to him, mm-hmm. and know that God is going to take care of us. You know, he is not a God that he should lie. Know the Son of Man that he shall repent. He will make sure that we are properly covered and taken care of. And I'll elaborate a little bit more into that, because there's a lot that I want to say behind that. But we have to trust God,
uh-huh.
even when we are offended. We have to trust God when things are happen to us that are unfortunate, and we want the cause of it. Sometimes we are the cause of things. So we have to learn how to follow the principles of Christ in order to be successful in our psyche, because this is sometimes it's a mental warfare, and we have to know how to really follow Christ's way in order to be victorious in our emotions, victorious in the way we respond, victorious in the way that we deal with life issues.
Yes.
And I'll stop right there, and I'll elaborate a little bit more as we go further into the session.
Thank you both. That is so spot on. And it sounds like it is so hard for some of us to forgive. And I think that part of it is because we see this in our minds, this unfairness, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it sounds like both of you are reiterating that when you lean on the scriptures, the word, and in Jesus Christ, that's where the fairness lies, right? So when we focus on that as opposed to our own personal feelings about whether it be hurt, whether it's being vengeful, we need to lean on God and lean on the word. I appreciate that. And so let me ask you this. Are we giving the person we fail to forgive, are we giving them control by not forgiving them, right? What do you say, Evangelist Devon?
No. Well, your question is, are we giving the person control when we don't forgive? Yes, you are. Mm-hmm. You are giving that individual control over your emotions and over how you respond to them. Because it's just like you saying that, because they have whatever the issue is, that whenever this person is around, then they have that you've allowed them to dictate how you're going to respond to them, how you're going to behave yourself. And you should not allow anyone to have that control over you like that.
Yeah.
And that's why it's important to operate in forgiveness, because forgiveness is for the individual themselves.
Mm-hmm.
That I refuse to allow your actions to control my life.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have that much control over me. You're not that important to me that I will allow you to dictate who I am as an individual,
mm-hmm.
and who I am as a person. You know, I don't want to allow what transpired to me to cause me to be someone who I am not. If I'm a loving, caring person, I'm still going to be a loving, caring person despite how you treated me. Because I cannot afford to allow you to taint my character, my godly characteristics, because you've done evil. You will have to give an account for the deeds done in your body, as I have to give an account. So because I have to give an account of deeds done in my body, I choose to give an account for being to operate in forgiveness and trusting that God's going to work out the situation and still maintain my godly characteristics. So, yeah, I, you, if you continue to allow yourself to allow that person to control your emotions or your actions, then yeah, they have power over you, and you don't want anyone to have that power over you. You want to maintain the power. Yeah, and Miss Pastor Holland, I didn't give a scripture, all of the scripture. I just get a piece of a scripture. I know you'll give that for me in reference to this particular
question. I love it. Hey, Emmanuel, what do you have?
Well, I agree with Evangelist Wanda. I believe that we give too much power. I believe we give them, we're in emotional bondage. And then, you know, for scripture purposes, if you go to Ephesians chapter 4, and this is just me paraphrasing, it says, let all bitterness be put away from you. You know, and then it also causes spiritual hindrance. Unforgiveness, it blocks our relationship with God. And then not only that, it's the mental preoccupation that you have. You know, unforgiveness gives the offender space in our minds. The offense or plotting revenge can consume our thoughts, distracting us from the positive growth and the present moment. I think about sometimes, you know, when I'm with my family, if something happens, I put too much emphasis, and I'm being transparent, I put too much emphasis on the person that offended me, and to the point to where I'm not even enjoying my family. So we have to be careful. And not only that, it causes, you know, health implications. It can harm our physical and mental health. Resentment and stress can lead to chronic health problems such as high blood pressure, anxiety, and weakened immunity. And then not only that, it's relinquishing power. Like Evangelist Wanda said, you're relinquishing your power. Unforgiveness empowers the offender. When we refuse to forgive, when we allow the offense to continue to affect our lives, giving the offender ongoing influence over us, even if they've already moved on. So in some cases, they've already moved on. They've forgotten about what they've done, and you're there.
I appreciate that. I do. That's some good stuff, man. And I'll tell you the one that, and I'm going to throw the Matthew 6:14-15, because I really, to me, that sums it up as far as the reason why, the whys, right? So if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive yours. Man, to me, that just, you know, that seals the deal. But I love how you added the health implications in this, because for so long we talk about science on the left and faith and religion on the right. But as we moving forward in this, you know, 21st century, we're finding that there are consistencies in both. And so when you touched on that, hey, if you're not forgiven, those are health, there are health complications. That's good. Hey, so outside of Jesus being crucified, what's your favorite story of forgiveness in the Bible? Emmanuel, what's your favorite story?
My favorite story is the prodigal son. It's the prodigal son, and that can be found in Luke chapter 15. I'm not going to read it. It was verses 11 through 32. And to me, it's a profound illustration of forgiveness, grace, and the loving nature of God. It teaches us about God's readiness to forgive us when we repent, and the importance of showing forgiveness to others. I love the story because it covers so much. It covers the younger son's rebellion. It covers repentance. It covers the father's forgiveness. And get this, the older son's resentment. We can't forget about that, because the older son, he was there the whole time. He was like, what about me? You mean to tell me you're going to throw a party for him? I've been here the whole time. And so you know, I'll just leave it at that. I got a whole lot to say because there's so much to unpack in the prodigal son. I won't say it all. I'll let Evangelist Wanda go.
That's a great story, though. I'm glad you mentioned that. Wanda, what do you say?
One of my favorite stories is in Genesis 50, where Joseph was sold to Potiphar. Yeah. And, Joseph, in his younger years, he was a dreamer. And he told his brothers about his dream, all excited about his dream, and did not know that his brothers were envious towards his dream. And his father, and the Bible teaches us that he was favored by his father. And Joseph was the young man of many coats of many colors. But he went through years of being enslaved because of his brothers hated him so. And ultimately became the second in command in Egypt.
Yes.
And desired to see his father, desired to see his brother Benjamin, desired to see all of his brothers. And he ultimately became the king over his kinsmen as he had told his brothers. And his brothers, when they had came to his domain, I say his domain back into Egypt. And they realized that his brother was not dead because his brothers thought that he was dead. They thought he was dead, but he was alive, and he was alive, and he built a kingdom in another country, and it was in later years it salvaged his family. Yes. So his dreams came into reality as he told his father Israel that of his dream. He was like, okay, are you going to be king over me too? Joseph, but his father did not have the same envy as his brothers did. He was just curious about what the dreams that the Lord was showing him. And the long story short, that ultimately, that I think that's the ultimate sacrifice of forgiveness, because people, we have a tendency, humanity has a tendency to harbor hate.
Yes,
and the Bible says where there's envy and strife, there's every other evil work. So Joseph could have harbored that hate, but instead he chose to harbor love for his brethren, and he chose to trust God through his process. And oftentimes we don't trust God through our process. That's why it's hard for us to forgive when we have out toward against us. We don't understand what God is doing. Amen. And when we don't understand what God is doing, then our humanity stands up where we should sit that humanity down and just say, God, I need you in this situation. I don't understand, but I know I trust you because I'm a king's kid. And I know that you said that you'll never leave me nor forsake me. Yes. And I trust the process. And I trust the process. I might not understand the process, but I trust the process. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighted in his way. You have to know the scripture and quote it when we're going through difficult times. And when we are faced with ought towards us, and wanting to forgive but don't know how to forgive, we have to just trust God. You have to have that relationship with the Lord that you know, say, God, okay, you got me in this situation. I don't know why. I got a whole lot of questions, but I know that you are going to make things right. And it's my job to just take one day at a time. Get into your word, understand your word, and work on me. Oftentimes we think that we can change others, and we cannot. God, it's not our job to change others. It's our job for us to mature in Christ ourselves. Once we mature in Christ ourselves, then God can give us a different platform, a vision, so we can have a better understanding of why we are faced with what we're faced with. And then that's called maturity. And once we start operating in maturity, then we can learn how to forgive, even in difficult times. Because this is your brother, this is your blood relative. You know, you would think that you all would be happy for me, or you would think that you would want to kill me, but his brother wanted to kill him.
Yeah,
so they went about you know, the deeds to do that, but something transpired where they couldn't do it. And then two of the brothers intervened. So let's not kill him. Let's just tell Father that the bears ate him. The wild animals ate them. and then years went by before they realized that Joseph was amongst the living. And not only is he amongst the living, but he is second in command, that he can save the family from famine. Yes. That we can now eat. The reality of his dream has transpired. And then he tells them, look, I'm not angry with you all, because what you all did set me up for what the vision that God had gave me decades ago, years ago when I was a child. So now I can make sure that my family is taken care of, and they have the right nurturement, food to survive when I'm gone. So that's one of my many favorites of forgiveness in the Word of God.
Yes. You two provided two great stories. Joseph is my favorite too, because to me, he understood purpose, right? It was like,
yes,
I know that if not for being sold to slavery, I wouldn't be in this position to help you through this famine. Right. And I'll paraphrase what he said, what you meant for evil, right?
God. Hey.
Good. So I love that story and his discipline through the whole journey. Wow.
Yeah.
Honestly, looking at it, it's like, could I do that? Could I sustain that? You know, I asked myself that. Speaking of which, let's talk about this. And I'll be transparent. Like we said, Wanda knew me since I was a kid, so she could probably throw some stuff out there. But this is where I struggle. Forgiving yourself, right? So, and I can tell you, like, I'm a pleaser, and if I let someone down, I promise you I'm harder on myself than they could ever be. So how do we, what advice do we give when we talk about forgiving ourselves? And I'll start with you, Wanda.
Well, 1 John says, I write to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for my name's sake. Once you come into the kingdom of God, he died for our sins. If God gave his life, he sacrificed his life for us, and his blood was shed for us 2,000 years ago, over 2,000 years ago. We have to, it's just like a gift. That's a gift. We're in Christmas time. That was a gift. He gave the ultimate gift, the ultimate sacrifice of his life. And if God gave his ultimate sacrifice for his life, it's our job to accept the gift. It's just like the saying, okay, you gave me a gift and I don't want it. You know, I don't want this gift, and I'm not thankful for the gift. When we choose not to forgive ourselves, it's like we smack Christ in his face. If you're thinking of it like that, that, you know, because Christ died, that you may have this liberty to forgive yourself of your sins. There's no good in man. That's why Christ died. He understood the humanity of man was not capable of being pure. So that's why he gave his life, so that he could be that mediator between man and God, so that we can have the opportunity to forgive ourselves and others and walk in that and say, God, okay, once I repent and I operate in repentance, and God has forgiven me, I can forgive myself. I can let go that weight. The Word of God said, let every weight and sin, lay aside every weight and sin that so easily beset us.
That's right.
So we have to lay aside those weights and the sin so that we can receive the fullness of Christ that he has afforded us to have. And I'll stop right there.
Man.
A lot there.
Thank you. Thank you. Pastor Holland.
Well, first of all, I say that I agree with everything that she said. I mean, she's on point.
Yeah.
She even provided the scriptures. I say that we need to acknowledge our sin and mistakes. A lot of people don't like to do that because it's a self-reflection, you know. Yeah. So if you acknowledge your sin and mistakes, it puts you in a good place. You should be able to accept and forgive yourself. Mm-hmm. And then another one's accept God's forgiveness. You know, believe in God's grace, you know, trust that when you confess your sins, God forgives you completely.
Yeah.
You know? And we can recognize that we are not defined by our past. A lot of times we tend to, you know, beat ourselves up based upon past failures, but we need to recognize that we're not defined by that.
Right.
that our identity is in Christ, that we are a new creature in Christ, and your worth is not determined by your past mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
Notice I said past mistakes. We need to learn from our mistakes.
Yeah.
Let go of the guilt and replace negative thoughts with God's truth. As we begin to meditate on scripture, you know, combat feelings of unworthiness by dwelling on verses that affirm God's love and forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? We need to, if you extend forgiveness to ourselves as we would others. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we're more quicker to forgive others than forgiving ourselves.
Yes.
Well, that works in reverse mode as well, like reverse engineering.
Yes.
And we also need to lean on the Holy Spirit for help. When you don't understand everything, as he said, the Spirit will guide us into all truth. Just lean on the Holy Spirit for help. And he'll help you. He'll help you. You just got to lean on him. And so another thing is that sometimes we need to seek support if needed. You know, talk to a trusted mentor or a pastor or even a therapist. Yeah. Somebody to help you overcome that. You know, a lot of times in the African-American community, I think we're getting better now.
Yeah.
Is that if we need therapy, hey, go for it. Go for it. By any means, sit down on somebody's couch or, you know, create a Zoom appointment or something to talk it through with a trusted source.
Man.
Amen.
You got amen. I thank you both. That is, I couldn't have said it better. And I always say, you know, our mother's love is the closest thing to God's love. And I'll tell this quick story. When I was in middle school, I got in trouble, got suspended. And that look my mother gave me.
Man, oh, my goodness.
Disappointment. Boy, when I tell you, it was so hard for me to forgive myself after that. And I found myself trying to put in work to get. But she showed me love regardless and kept it moving. But I just couldn't get past it. But and it just reminds me of how we'll try to put in work where work is not needed. Like to everything you both just said, you know, we're trusting in God. We're confessing our sins. We're leaning on the Spirit. We don't have to work for it.
Right.
It's given to us.
That's right.
I appreciate both of you. As we wrap up, I love giving the final words to you two, whatever you want to say. Final thoughts on this very important subject, because it's the essence of what our faith is about, forgiveness. So I'll start with you, Pastor Holland. Any final thoughts?
Yeah, I have final thoughts. You know what? There is power. Actually, this is I love this because we must understand that there's power in the action of forgiveness.
Yeah.
Right. So forgiveness, it restores our spiritual freedom. Forgiveness frees us from emotional chains. It helps us to move forward. It also, forgiveness reclaims our agency. By forgiving, we take back control of our hearts and our lives, refusing to let the offense dictate our future. And last but not least, forgiveness promotes healing. It promotes healing. You hear me? It promotes healing in every way. And I know that a lot of times, you know, there are different degrees of offenses. I know that you have, we've kind of kept it PG. You know, there are certain offenses, you know, that happen and it's really difficult for some people to overcome.
Yeah.
You know, infidelity, theft, you know, loss of life, you know, things like that. But I tell you, if you need the help, seek the help, seek that practical help. You know, those counselors, those people that can help walk you through some things, because I'm going to tell you, if you don't, you're going to lose what little bit of mind that you do have left after whatever has happened or transpired. So those are my closing thoughts.
Thank you. Thank you. And we're going to touch back. I'm going to circle back on that, what you mentioned about PG. I'm glad you did. Wow. Evangelist Devine.
Pastor Holland, he hit on all of the key points, but it is so true. If you want to walk in emotional freedom and walk in deliverance yourself, Seek the necessary counsel that you need if you can't mm-hmm. overcome those issues yourself so that you can be healthy. Because when you harbor unforgiveness, it's like Pastor Holland said, it can cause you to have medical issues. It can uh-huh. cause you to change your characteristic and become a person who you would hate, you know, in the future. It could cause a whole lot of negative impact on your life. It could cause, you know, future relationships. Mm-hmm. And I know some actions in today's society can be very difficult for you to overcome and to operate in forgiveness. But even in those difficult, very difficult issues or circumstances, you have to trust God, because the word of God says, "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I shall repay." And when you truly trust God to be your vindicator, then you understand that, okay, God is going to make sure that I'm protected. If mm-hmm. I do right, if I'm operating in God's principle, the way that the word teaches me, he's going to make sure that that I'm safe. And that doesn't mean that because I forgive you, that I allow you to invade my space again.
Oh.
I can forgive you,
but still,
there are certain ramifications that because of your actions, that you're not in my inner circle anymore.
Yes.
And I can see you and greet you, but not allow. We might can't have dinner, or we might can't, you know, do those things that we may have done before because of the art. But that doesn't mean that it take away from me for forgiving you. So there uh-huh. are certain degrees of that. I can forgive you, but you can't come to my house anymore. There's something, there's special, especially when it's a criminal offense or a physical offense or a dangerous offense, mm-hmm. you know, life threatening. I can forgive you because it's going to be healthy for me. But I can also make sure that I'm protected along the journey as well. If I, for example, I was molested years ago. I don't know if you remember, Alonzo, but it happened in this where we stayed at by a friend that we knew, and mm-hmm. I forgave him. But he doesn't come. He's not allowed. Even he here is 40 years later.
Yeah.
I'm not. I've never seen the man before again after that. But you can't come into my inner circle anymore because of that offense. But I have forgiven him a long time ago, and you know, mm-hmm. and I'm not scared to be in a room with him or be around him. But you don't get to be alone with me anymore. You see, mm-hmm. so there's certain ramification that come across that where I can still forgive you, but also make sure that I'm protected as well.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. Amen. And the Spirit definitely led this discussion, because I was actually going to kind of not talk about your situation per se, but we've had two guests who've had similar situations, and they were able, forgiveness, number one, gave them the strength to move forward. But number two, and I'm glad you touched on that, they separated from those individuals. And I've been in churches where battered women have asked, you know, do I stay in this marriage, you know, knowing that this person is abusive? And I've seen, you know, some ministers struggle with giving counsel. Mm-hmm. And so I'm so glad that both of y'all brought up the PG thing from Pastor Holland and Evangelist Devon, you talked about.
If your life is being threatened, I hate to interrupt. If your life is being threatened,
you're right.
Separate, get away, absolutely. Be safe.
Yeah.
Be safe.
That's that boldness we need. That's why we have this platform, because we have to tell it like it is. Lives are at stake.
That's right.
So, man, thank you both. I am just honored that you carved out time to come on the show, and I look forward to both of you coming on again. This was a great discussion, I'm sure. Now, Wanda, before we close out, if you want to tell one secret or something like that about me, you can, but someone told me that I got to be transparent, but
don't beat me up. Actually, Alonzo was a good boy. He was a good boy. Him and my brother, it's still to this day, him and my brother was just, you know, the best of friends, and closer friend, they still have that strong friendship, you know. Yeah. And yeah, I have nothing bad to say about Lasse. He was trustworthy back then and trustworthy now. So you know, it's he's always been one of my favorite brother's best friends.
Okay. Right. I appreciate you, and likewise. And I'll tell you offline, I learned a lot from you too. You share some wisdom years ago. You probably don't even remember, but I'll talk to you about it after okay. this. So. But okay. yeah, God bless both of y'all, and I look forward to the next discussion.
All right. Well,
thank you for having us.
Yes, Avery. This episode is brought to you by the Black Farmers Hub and by Peanut and Zeb's Grocery Stores. Both serve as a platform for Black farmers and food and beverage makers, inspired by their family legacies with a mission to provide a platform for Black and Brown farmers. Support their work by visiting thesweeterjuice.com as they consistently advocate for food sovereignty and assist with alleviating food apartheid. The Black Farmers Hub and Peanut and Zeb's Grocery Stores. Beautiful people, we're back, and guess what? We have with us D.S. Will, who, as a long-standing creator, possesses a profound understanding of the transformative impact of words. He's the founder of Press Play Poets. He's curated diverse community showcases, and from 2020 to 2023, he held the role of department head of poetry at the Raleigh Film and Art Festival. Also, too, his short performance film, Kings, was an official selection of the 2022 Raleigh Film Festival. He's conducted poetry workshops. He's been featured in a number of publications, and the brother, his poetry, his flow is deep, y'all. And I heard about DS even before I partnered with RC3 when we did the Art of Exhortation event. And so it is my pleasure to welcome this brother to the Unknown Preacher LA, DS Will. What's happening, my brother?
Peace, Brother L.A. Peace, and God bless you. I am honored to be on this esteemed platform. I've been anticipating this all week, so I'm ready to have a healthy conversation and for iron to sharpen iron on this episode.
Amen. Amen. Now, I'm going to say it. I hope you don't mind. I just got to salute you because you're not feeling your best, but and we even talked about, hey, maybe we can reschedule, but man, a man of his word, a man of God. And he said, hey, I know you've advertised, you put this out here, and I'm going to just go through with this. And I just got to salute you on that, man, because we don't salute each other enough as brothers, man, when you do things you don't have to do. And it just means more than I could ever tell you. So thank you, brother.
Oh, absolutely. It's just a small sentiment, speaking about things that you didn't have to do, but you feel inclined based upon love, based upon respect and admiration and things of that nature. Again, you invited me on your platform as a display of love. Right. Yes, and so sir. I want to reciprocate that and also be able to be empathetic as a person, as a curator. You know, when you have things scheduled, you have things that's advertised and it doesn't go according to plan, then we start dipping into our contingency bags and it just causes confusion. So I would be the last person to be a catalyst for that. So if it's in my will, if it's in God's will for this to be done, then let's make it happen.
Amen. God bless you, my brother. Mm-hmm. Hey, so tell us about DS Will, man. What's your story?
Well, it started long ago. I love how how stories begin with that phrase. It started long ago. Yes. Expression and creativity has always been a part of my life. Much of it is from my parents. Mm-hmm. They have been cornerstones as it relates to my development. really just through exposure, right?
Yes.
So exposure to the arts, a variety, an array of eclectic artists, be it vocalists, instrumentalists, painters, architects, and designers. And I thank them for that, for being able to kind of steer me in that direction and to really absorb what I was listening to. And film has played a big part in that as well. Right. So they made it their mission and their duty, even though I share a story like many of us, you know, underserved community, so on and so forth. So having these not as just mere distractions, but as tools of inspiration. And much of this was in the context of spirituality as well. Mm-hmm. Being surrounded by individuals who also possess these gifts, who took the time out to guide me or to expose me to these things. So it really goes back to the expression, it takes a village to raise a child. Mm-hmm. So the village was very, very imperative in helping me to find my own gift, a gift that was bestowed upon me by God.
Amen, man. I love it. I was talking to a sister who came to the Art of Exhortation event, and she saw the advertisement and was like, I can't wait to hear this interview with D.S. Will. And she was just talking about your the work you did that night, and she said it was just so deep, and you had to really be paying attention what he was telling you. But he was talking about eating right, and I mean, went on and on, man. And it's just impactful, and and I appreciate when someone who is an artist, whatever discipline under the umbrella of art it is, when people get what they're doing. So people are really connected by your words. And so what are most of your poems centered around?
It's a variety of topics. And I know that's another cliched answer, but my inspiration comes from a variety of different sources. But the main aspect of my art is it's an outlet, right? We all need outlets, places to vent, and not just for things that bother us or for trouble sometimes. Yeah. It's an outlet of joy. It's an outlet of happiness, of appreciation. So I can be inspired by song lyrics. I can be inspired by this conversation between the two of us. You know, whatever sparks an idea, it's almost like a dam breaking, right? There's this overflow of feelings and emotions. You're just trying to find something to fill up a cup or to fill up a bowl or to direct it into the right direction. And so that's really what sparks my creativity. So my poems can be about love. It could be about devotion. It could be socio-political. It could be something whimsical, like somebody made a good sweet potato pie and I got to express my appreciation for it. This crust is great.
Yes.
It's great. Where'd you get this recipe from? So
anything
that's inspirational and allows me to be expressive.
I think that speaks volumes, man. Like when you talk about emotional intelligence and self-awareness, because I know when you're an artist, whether you're like a songwriter or a rapper or a poet, you know, you tend to tune in and you can kind of channel anything into art form. And that it just really takes a special person to have that gift, man. That's a deep process. So like when you're doing your poetry, when you're writing, do you take breaks? Like, say you mentioned the sweet potato pie. Cause I know like, and I'm not even going to say I'm near your level, but when I do my spoken word, my poetry, and it may take me just within 30 minutes to an hour, and because it'll just keep flowing. Or do you find that you start a little and then come back to it, or you rewrite and process? What's that like? What does that look like?
It's been both. It's been what you stated. I may sit down for a good 25 minutes to an hour and everything just flows because it's been a reservoir, right? It's been something that's been within me. And again, we're talking about that catalyst, right?
Yeah.
Or it could be something that I want to revisit. It's funny about us artists sometimes, like we hate the editing process because we think that everything really is just great the first time around. But that editing process or allowing others to hear your work so that you can get unbiased opinion is all a part of growth and evolution. Yeah. I was talking to someone one time about growth and evolution, and you always want to put yourself in positions or rooms where you can learn, right? You don't always want to be the smartest individual in the room or the most talented, because how else are you going to experience growth? Yes. And then another key component that God is keen on is humility, being humble around those who may be better to you, being willing to take their advice, especially if they've been in the craft longer than you. Because if you come in with an overabundance of pride, it is going to be before a fall.
Yes, yes, always. No doubt about that, brother. Well, your humility oozes, but with your talent, man, I'm telling you, as I stated earlier, man, people are just so connected by your words and just who you are as a person. So it speaks volumes. How often, let's talk about those personal experiences, though. How often do you insert those into your poetry?
It's a direct reflection. There's always a bit of me in everything that I write, even if I'm writing from a third person perspective or I'm writing about a particular event. There's always my DNA is always there. It's always my opinion or outlook or viewpoint or on something. For me, it's very difficult to separate the two, and that might be a challenge, brother LA. You gave me a challenge next time. Let's see if you could completely take myself out of the next thing that I write. But yeah, to answer that question, you mentioned something about channeling like the intangibles, like the things that are not there. And that is something that I feel should be applied to life in general. Amen. So many times we get distracted with the clear and present that we don't take account for the things that's not there or the things that could take place in the future. Yeah. And what winds up happening is that you can fast forward your existence by not pausing and being appreciative of the blessings that you have right in front of you.
Amen. Amen. Man, I love that. It reminds me of, my former producer, close friend of mine, and OZ, and he was talking about just being in that moment, because he said he'd get caught up in taking pictures and trying to capture these events, but he's in doing that, you're not appreciating that moment you're in, and it's something very similar. So I appreciate that, man.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So let me ask you, in the future, speaking of which, we talked about future, have you or are you thinking, or is there a possibility of you writing a book or doing an album or anything like that?
So interesting you should mention that. so I've been very blessed these past 3 months. I've been on a whirlwind, a positive whirlwind of different events that I have been privileged to be a part of. So this is like the hibernation period, but not necessarily just resting everything. I am developing a book. And so the book is called Write on the Wall. Wow. And it actually comes from a quote my father told me one time. He said, if you run out of paper, you need to write on the wall. And it's so simple when you think about it, but then when you really pull back the layers, it's you can't wait for the perfect circumstance to take action. And you may not have all of the tools at your disposal, but if you have faith and you have a will and a drive, you'll use whatever tools that are necessary that you do have in your possession to accomplish your goal. So I may not have pencil, you know, figuratively, I may not have a pencil or a pen or a paper, but if I got a wall or something to be able to document or notate how I feel, then that means that the task could be accomplished. So the name of the book really kind of conveys the type of pieces that will be in there. And as I mentioned before, we'll cover a wide variety of topics. I want to be that Golden Corral. I want to be that buffet. You know, when somebody picks up my book, you know, they want a little bit of love. All right. You want a little bit of divinity. Okay.
Yeah.
Whatever you want, it'll be your one-stop shop. So that's my goal, to be completed very, very soon. You'll be one of the first folks to know, sir.
Man, I hope so, man. I'm gonna definitely hype it up here, man. Because my followers, the people who listen to the show, who attended, they were just it. I'm impressed by how you resonate with so many people who are at different places in their life, and that's incredible to me. And I'm glad that you were. I said, I have to ask, because I have some friends who were really deep into the spoken word scene in our area. And one did a book, one did an album. And I was like, we got to capture your work, man, because the stuff you put out there is just so deep. So I'm happy to hear that, man.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yes. Yes, sir. Hey, DS Wheel, like the name. Tell me about that name.
that's an interesting history. So the Will part is very, very simple and very basic. My last name is Williams, so gotcha. Will is just short for that. The DS is very interesting. One of my favorite artists had a song called DS on his album. And I was in high school, and it's funny, during those formative years, you're always trying to find an identity for yourself or create some type of alter ego, some cool alter ego. So I said, yeah, DS, that sounds cool. And it's had a variety of meanings over the years as I've grown older. At times, you know, during dark periods, it stood for downward spiral. I remember I had a ex-girlfriend said, no, it means delicate soul. So I told, you know, listeners, whatever it means to you, that's what DS means. But then I wanted something a bit more definitive to really speak to my journey. And so really it just means don't stop. And the whole name is Don't Stop Will. Just keep going no matter what. Yeah.
I love that. I really like that, man. Ah, cool. Now, so where are you from exactly?
Well, I represent the 201, Jersey City, New Jersey. I'm a northerner. I've always had southern roots, though. My family is always populated either North Carolina or Georgia. So I consider myself a two-state brother. when it comes to my background and my origins, because I visited North Carolina on plenty of occasions growing up. But Jersey is the official home.
That's all right. Good place, man. My one of our co-hosts, Muna, who just joined the team, that's where she's from, Jersey. So when you come back, I got to make certain I coordinate. So she's on that episode as well.
Awesome.
Good stuff, man. And tell us about the spoken word community and the Triangle. Like, again, at one point, I was pretty connected through a good friend of mine, Langston Fuse, and a friend of mine named Phoenix. And so I went to some of those events. And how's it now in the Triangle? Because I honestly have not been connected as I used to be.
Well, shout out to Risen Phoenix and also Langston Fuse. Funny story, I tell Fuse this all the time that I see him.
Yeah.
He is one of the first individuals to really kind of take me under his wing when I was transitioning from Jersey to Carolina. And this was back in probably 2010, so almost 15 years ago. Yeah. I was at an event and I heard him perform, and I did the open mic portion, and I came up to him afterwards. I said, you know, I just really enjoyed your work. I was inspired. And, you know, some of us do suffer from ego, but he was not an individual, because he could have easily just said thank you and kept it moving. Yeah. But he didn't spend a great deal of time on what he did. He was speaking about my poem.
Yes.
And what he captured from it. And so now, some 10 years later, where in certain circles, I'm the individual doing the feature, and I may be speaking to someone on the open mic. I always keep that in mind about pouring into others. That is something that is so critical because many of us are running on E.
Yes.
Because we are pouring into other individuals or into our work or into our tribulations. So it's very critical to have those moments because that conversation to him may not have been big, but that was a turning point for me. So you also never know the impact that a small conversation or you complimenting someone or recognizing their existence will play in their development. But to answer your question, the poetry scene here has blossomed.
Good.
There have been many individuals who have gone to do their trying to find their own pockets in the artist circle. It's expanded. We have many different open mic venues now. I've seen the ascension of individuals kind of from the rafters sometimes. So it's a beautiful scene here in the Triangle.
I am very happy to hear that because I've seen the ups and downs and Fuse, everything you said about him is so spot on. That's been my brother since we were like 18. And so he actually did the artwork for the my single Everyday Sunday. He did that. So he multi-talented. But two things just came to mind. Just the first part, like what you said, because a wise man told me a long time ago, don't believe your hype, you know. Mm-hmm. And when you start believing you're as good as they tell you you are, that's when you're in trouble. And so humility is a virtue. But the other part is you just never know, man, what your words, man, mean to someone else and how you inspire them, how you encourage them. So and you too, brother, because you definitely give back. So many blessings on that.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. So as we close, man, any final words? I always give my guests the platform to promote, to say anything they want to say, because it's all about spotlighting, number one, the ministry, but also, two, your vision, your endeavors, your work. So I'm going to give you the floor and you can close us out with anything you want.
Absolutely. So the first thing I'm always going to do is thank God for this opportunity, for allowing me another day just to breathe and be above ground and to be able to communicate and really build with a brother such as yourself. Your accomplishments have been grand. And the fact that you take time to give back and to curate these events and opportunities, stages, so on and so forth, shows your dedication to the development of your community and your ministry and your congregation. So thank you for that.
Praise God.
My other message to the listeners really is to, you know, tap into your gift. Don't normalize your gifts. That's what I want to say. And what I mean by that is that many of us have these special talents and they come to you easily, right? Mm-hmm. And what you do is that you normalize them. You think that everyone can do what you do, and that's not the case. You've been chosen. You are a vessel. Again, it's a gift given by God. And commission yourself to be able to spread that gift so that you can inspire others. And your reward will be the development and the growth and the recognition that you receive from that gift. When you start normalizing what's special about you, then you basically become stagnant, right? And the confidence level begins to decrease. There are thousands of people that are waiting to meet you. Do not disappoint them by thinking that you're ordinary. And if you do want to follow me, gotta keep the lights on. You can simply just follow me on IG at If You Won't, DS Will for all of my upcoming events and ventures and anything that you may have missed in the past. There's clips there, so on and so forth. And that's pretty much it that I have to say, brother.
Man, I'm glad you shared with them, because I always loved, I love that handle, but also too, you carved out time to encourage others, man. And I mean, you could significantly, you know, boost confidence, give people that sense of self-worth, and you never know who just heard this and now they're going to take those steps to greatness, man, because of you. So God bless you, brother.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Yes, sir. DS Will, y'all. Don't forget to follow the Unknown Preacher LA podcast. We're on all podcast platforms.
It's the unknown. Unknown. It's the unknown. Unknown preacher.